Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined on the phone by Jeff Howie, market strategist from the SGX, to wrap not just this week, but to have a sneak peek into the very short trading week ahead that we're going to have because of the Lunar New Year. Now, before we bring Jeff into the conversation, let's take that quick trot around the markets in the region. The Straits Times Index, after the sievre that all of the markets were yesterday, is up 0.2% at 3,268 points. Japan's Nikkei up by 2%. South Korea's Kospi up by 1.8%. Australia's ASX up by 2.2%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng, I think is the only one we track here regularly on money, in the red, down by 1.1%. The Shanghai Composite Index up by 0.1%. It has been an extremely, extremely busy week on the markets here in the region and globally as well. A lot of news, a lot of developments, a lot of jitters coming from the FOMC as well. And Jeff's going to make sense of it all for us. Jeff, where do you start?
It's been a long week, hasn't it?
I know. Has it only been a week?
I know. Thankfully, a very short week next week, Clarissa. So we're still relatively defensive in Singapore,
yeah,
because of the reasons we've been discussing pretty much all month. So the SGI, it's declined 0.7% so far this week as of the lunch close. Relative to the Hang Seng Index, which is down close to 5%, your S&P ASX 200 is down 4%. And those, I guess, comparatively more defensive declines of the STI, it's brought the month-to-date gain of the STI to just under 5%, 4.7%. So when you put that on the leaderboard of global major benchmarks, the STI ranks second after Brazil. Now, we've had instances of this increased volatility before, when Omicron was starting to emerge at the end of November, very early December. We saw the VIX index in the US trade at pretty similar levels to where it has been this week. And during that time, we did see Hong Kong ASEAN indexes decline around 4%. But what's been driving the outperformance here? I mean, when you look at the month so far, Singapore stocks, they've seen around 1.1 billion of net institutional inflows. Across the board, you've got just around 310 stocks that have attracted net inflows so far this year, and around 250 stocks that have actually booked net outflows. So there's STI's biggest four constituents. The four of these stocks account for half of the STI weightings: DBS, OCBC, UMB, and Singtel. They've actually seen 1.1 billion of net inflows for the period, which means the remaining stocks have recorded something like $40 million of net institutional inflows. So there's been a lot of skew towards the big heavyweights of our market. Global inflation has, of course, been the primary concern of global markets for the first few weeks of the year. And the two sectors, banks and energy, have actually seen more tailwinds than headwinds with this, because the trio of DBS, OCBC and UOB, they've averaged very close to 10% gains in the month so far. Obviously, the higher upward shift of the yield curve in the US and the outlook for interest rates, that normalization per se, has been a key driver, not just to our banks, but globally banks. And as we say, we have more, around 45% of our STI weighed to banks. Now, in addition to that, you have DBS and UOB also proposing pretty similar acquisitions this month to increase their regional scale. So I think it was back on the 14th of January, UOB announced it was acquiring Citi's consumer business in four ASEAN countries. They were Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand and Vietnam. And then this morning, DBS has announced it's acquiring Citi's consumer banking business in Taiwan. So both those transactions, they're pretty similar, and they both basically reduce the respective common equity tier one ratio of which is basically the core measure of a bank's financial strength from the regulator's point of view, it basically just reduced their respective Tier 1 ratios by around 70 basis points. So that's not really material. It doesn't impact their ability to pay dividends. So this is normal growth throughout the region, as we've expected to be one of those key sub-themes of particularly consumer banking in this region. So the other sector, as we said, it's really because of the nature of this current bout of inflation. I mean, while monetary policy and money, I suppose, and the circulation of money is always the key driver of inflation, you can have different natures of inflation. And the energy sector, of course, and the supply chain constraints have been the key driver this time around. So energy sector has, of course, led the global stock market over the past week, in addition to the past 3 weeks. We have stocks here in Singapore, RH Petrogas, Rex International, and Geo Energy Resources, that so far this year have averaged 9% gains, while ranking also among the top 40 stocks by net institutional inflow. Brent crude oil has spent the Asia trading week pretty much consolidating around $90 a barrel. That's up from $88 a barrel on Friday, last Friday, I should say, and it's up from around, more importantly, $78 a barrel at the end of last year. So RH Petrogas, it's ranked, you know, you look at where this stock was a year ago, it was ranking among our top 550 stocks by turnover. So that's very low. But today it's a top 50 stock by turnover. Rex International, in the meantime, is looking to move from the catalyst board to the main board. And as I said, that they have been top 40 stocks by net institutional inflow. But when you rank the top 100 stocks, let's say we rank the top 100 traded stocks in Singapore by the highest net institutional inflows this year, not on an absolute basis, but rank those net institutional inflows proportionate to the stock's market cap or market value. Because obviously always the banks will get more inflows because they have much bigger market value, and the smaller stocks will have less because of their lower market value. But if you rank it proportionate to the stock's market value, Geo Energy Resources, Rex International, and RH Petrogas, along with Sembcorp Industries, which that company, of course, has pressed on with its strategic transformation from brown to green energy, those four energy stocks have ranked among the top 10 recipients of net inflows so far this year, proportionate to market value. Sembcorp Industries, it has gained 13% so far in the year, and that's brought its share price up from $2 at the end of last year to $2.30 today. But in the background, it's not all inflation. There has been a surge in global Omicron infections, and that continues to weigh these increasingly sensitive supply chain outlooks, particularly in China and Hong Kong. And that, of course, impacts the outlook for global growth and inflation. Smooth daily new confirmed global cases this week for Omicron across the world have been in excess of 3.3 million cases a day. Just by comparison, we're at 1.3 million cases a day back on the 31st of December. So just if you look at the difference or the new cases that have been confirmed of Omicron across the world between 31st December and 26th of January, it's something like 75 million cases. So that obviously does weigh into the concern and the outlook for supply chains. So that's been a key factor, not just energy prices, into why the interest rate outlook has changed. And, of course, the big event during the week was the FOMC at 3 a.m. on Thursday morning. There were, prior to that Fed meeting, there were expectations going into that meeting that on the 16th of March, you'd have 88% expectations for a 25 basis point rate hike and only 6% expectations for a 50 basis point hike. Now, following that meeting, those expectations have been rebalanced to less expectations for a 25 basis point rate hike, 80% expectations, and up to 20% expectations now for a 50 basis point hike. And moreover, for the full year, majority expectations have now been rebalanced to 5 rate hikes in the US in 2022, from majority expectations of 4 rate hikes going into that FOMC. So look at where US markets are now prior to that FOMC. The S&P 500 futures that trade during Asia hours, they're at 43.42. So that means they're trading around 2.3% lower than the pre-FOMC announcement. And two-year yields now are at 1.2% in the US. That's up significantly, 45 basis points from the end of last year. And your 10-year yields are also up significantly, but not up as much at 1.82% from around 1.5% back at the end of last year. And, of course, bringing it back home, CPI inflation as well. Remember last year, began 2021 in Singapore with a 0.2% year-on-year gain in January. It ended 2021 with 4% year-on-year gain in December 2021. So you've got quite an increase in an inflation level. The core CPI came in at 2.1% year-on-year in December. So we did see the MAS raise that exchange rate near policy slope slightly. And that off-cycle tightening was, of course, attributed to the outlook for inflation. Number one, on recovering global demand, but number two, these persistent supply-side frictions that we're seeing. And that December pickup in inflationary momentum, it was really driven by an increase in services inflation, steeper increase in airfares on the higher costs of travelling with VTLs was one of the reasons. And then if you look more broadly for the second half, that was on the back of these increase in global commodity prices that have been passed through to electricity and gas tariffs. So I guess while the price of crude oil is up at $90 a barrel at the moment, it hasn't really seen the upward momentum of the preceding 2 weeks, and it's pretty much been consolidating around $90 a barrel. But as we said, it's not just all about energy. There's supply and demand mismatches in commodities and these tight supply chains that are impacting the outlook for high inflation prints across the world, so really impacting our trading partners. And, of course, as well, you have the rising wage pressures as well.
All right. Now, that's a lot to assimilate. Yeah. And, you know, I think for the average investor, everything that you just said, they just zoomed in on the what's causing the inflation and how is that going to affect their investments.
Yeah exactly.
And but where are the bright spots for them to look at right now? Which, you know, you're talking about the energy sector. That's not just the case in Singapore. Energy, mining, those were some of the only bright spots on the ASX this week.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we've got bright spots here too, because it's not all macro, Clarissa. That's one of the things I really love about this stock market is there's been so much microeconomic strategic initiatives pursued by these companies. And we saw that. You look at the most traded stock this morning that you've got, of course, the three banks. Number four is Keppel Corp. That's been our fourth most traded stock this morning. It's gained 7% to around, I think it was around $5.66 at the close,
at the lunchtime close. They're great guns right now.
Exactly. And you saw what happened after the close yesterday. They reported their full year 2021 net profit was above $1 billion. That makes it the highest net profit in 6 years. Crossing that $1 billion mark for the first time since 2015, it's FY for 2015, and that's also a pretty sharp turnaround from its net loss the preceding year, FY20, which I think was just a little bit over 500 million Sing dollars. So the company, I guess, it proposed a 500 million share buyback program. And it did note that, of course, you know, those shares can be repurchased and held as treasury shares for employee share plans, which does basically resonate with what most of the buybacks are done for here in Singapore. But they did also note it could be used as possible currency for future merger and acquisitions. And that pursuit of strategic merger and acquisition opportunities, it is part of its Vision 2030 initiative to accelerate its growth engines, and that initiative, it really aims to refocus the Keppel portfolio to be what is referred to as an integrated business, which is then able to provide these end-to-end solutions for what we need, sustainable urbanisation, and that therefore has this focus on energy and the environment, of course, urban development, connectivity and asset management. So this ongoing transformation plan and these goals in these key areas, they were cited to also contribute to the group's return on equity turnaround, which has its ROE, its return on equity, now at 9.1%, and that compares to negative 4.6% this time last year. So That's also part of its plan. Under its Vision 2030 transformation plan, the group aimed to have a long-term 15% ROE target. So plenty happening in the micro front as well, as these companies look to engage these strategic initiatives to find ways to increase shareholder and unit holder value. On the REIT front too, we've had a number of REITs report this week. The two REITs that have traded among our top 10 stocks so far this morning, Mapletree Industrial Trust and Capital Land Integrated Commercial Trust, their earnings both came in line with expectations. And they've been, as we said, among the top 10 traded today. I think it was this morning, CICT, Capital Land Integrated Commercial Trust, it reported its 2021 financial year DPU of 10.4 cents. That's up from 8.7 cents the preceding year. And it's also been pressing on with what it has termed as its portfolio reconstitution strategy. So the CEO of the REIT, he noted he was cautiously optimistic for 2022 for three key reasons, which the listeners can have a look at the results and look what those key drivers are. But I think the first reason was pretty important too. It showed that the portfolio valuation was up 3.5% year on year, and that kind of signifies an overall improving outlook for Singapore's retail and office market. And then MIT also saw that its DPU for its third quarter ending the 31st December was actually up 6% year on year, and that was on an enlarged unit base. So they've been the two REITs that have been most traded among our top 10 traded today, and as we said, no change in their prices this morning, and the results were both in line with expectations.
There were a lot of REITs that reported this week. So whatever you were looking at, whether it was data centers, whether it was hospitality, whether it was commercial, there was a lot for investors who like REITs to be looking at very carefully. I thought Keppel came out, surprisingly good, and they certainly are the stars right now. They're still trading in excess of 6% up from where they were, yesterday? But then again, what was everybody doing yesterday?
Well, it was a high turnover. I think $1.6 billion in turnover we saw on our stock market yesterday, which has been one of the strongest trading days so far for the year. And as we say, there's so much. This market has not been as interesting, I think, as it is right now ever. It's just there's so many demand and supply drivers, macro and micro as well. And and also all these data prints. I think next week we've got a few. We've got obviously a half-day trading on Monday, and then we resume trading on the Thursday morning. And during next week, we're going to have the retail sales, which we'll talk about next Friday at Market Watch, because that's released just before there. But then we have our PMI as well. I think it's on the February 3rd, so it's the night before. We'll be looking at that.
Right now, value turnover is in excess of $800 million, and we haven't seen. You're right, we haven't seen that kind of volume for most of this year, except for maybe yesterday.
Yeah, a little bit of pickup in volatility. A little bit more of normalization of volatility, because stock markets do move, obviously, and we have been on the move, both up and down, as we said, and stocks seeing inflows and outflows. So always a good time to check on your portfolio and see what's on the move and what's not.
Well, volatility is not necessarily a bad thing if you've got your finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
All right.
And you can do that by following Money FM.
Thank you for saying that, but it's true,
Of course it is. Yeah, it is. Thank you.
I'm Clarissa Montero for Money FM 89.3. This has been Market View Wrap with Jeff Howie, market strategist from the SGX. Stay with Singapore's most influential radio station.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.